Welcome to the Evolution Exchange Nordics podcast. At Evolution, we are committed to helping people and Nordic tech organizations to realize their potential. Our goal is to develop deep relationships with individuals, building trust to make business easier. I'm Wahid from Evolution Recruitment Solutions, and today I am your host. Today, I'm joined by Johanna, Johnny, Sarah, and Miloš to discuss building high performance data science teams. Before we delve deeper into the topic, let's work our way around the room with some introductions. I'd like to know who you are and what is one of your biggest passions. Johanna, can you kick us off, please?
Yes, thank you so much, Wahid. So my name is Johanna Staff. I work as a director at Capgemini Invent in the Nordic region. And my passion is data and people.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Johnny?
Yeah, hello. I'm Johnny Peterson. I'm a product owner for a data science team within propulsion and energy at Volvo Cars. And I have been that for 3 years. And I'm also a data steward for the unit handling strategic questions. And I have been that for 2.5 years. I have a background in vehicle diagnostics and been a project manager and also a legal analyst for a few years. So I have quite a good business knowledge. And I'm really passionate about the data analytics area because I've been a software developer, function developer, and then moved to project management and team leading. And then I moved into this data analytics area. And that's really amazing to connect the bridge between the business and technology.
Amazing. Thank you for that, Jenny. Sarah?
Right. My name is Sarah Berenji. I joined Tedia 5 years ago as a data scientist and then started a new position as machine learning lead architect for a bit more than a year ago. And in my current role, I'm responsible for defining the MLOps processes and way of working for our different platforms at Tedia, like on-prem and cloud. And my current focus is, of course, generative AI enablement at Tedia, building the required architecture and putting in place the platform components to support these use cases and providing the guidelines for them. And I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for that, Sarah. And Miloš.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for having me on. My name is Miloš, and I lead the data science and engineering teams at Twidio, which is a full service marketing agency. My main responsibility is providing our clients with an answer to basically the question of how to most efficiently allocate the marketing budget. And I'd say that hunting for solid scientific basis to answer that question is something that I've been quite passionate about over the past few years.
Amazing. Thank you for that, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris Bennett here, the Nordics Managing Director here at Evolution. We're committed to doing recruitment in a different way that adds value to both our clients and candidates by providing you with amazing speakers and leading edge discussions on what's going on in the tech scene at the moment. There are 3 reasons why you should contact me. If you would like to speak on a future podcast, if you are interested in hiring awesome tech, data, product or gaming freelancers for your business, or if you are looking for an exciting new organization to work with, please get in touch. Thank you so much for listening, and I really hope to hear from you soon. Please enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Now that we've established a context to each of you, let's move on to the topic of focus. You have all a question or a statement on building and leading high-performance data science teams. As usual, I'll work around the room asking each of you to pose your question and the reasons behind it. Johanna, could you kick us off, please?
Yes, thank you, Wahid. So my question is, what are successful strategies in order to bridge the gap that you often see between data science teams and business stakeholders? So in my experience, one aspect of a high-performing data science team is that you ensure that they really demonstrate the business value to the organization. But the challenge, also in my experience, is often that there is this gap between the data science team and the business. So how do you bridge it? And my own answer, in my own experience, is that it's very much about communication, that the teams, the data science team, and business stakeholders need to understand each other's domains a little bit better in order to communicate and really establish a good trust between each other. So what I have done previously is when leading a data science team is to introduce them to the daily life and reality of the business. So, for example, I used to work in a business-to-business retailer with a large logistics function, a big warehouse. I brought the data scientists over to that logistics center so they could really see the reality behind the data. And this got them thinking a lot about what are the problems that the business is experiencing. They could more easily translate those problems for the business and actually find solutions. So also doing the other way around, I also had the business people visiting the daily life of the data scientists. So introducing them to hackathons and coding and so on.
Amazing. Thanks for that, Johanna.
I love this idea that you try to make this gap by introducing them to their day-to-day life. First of all, I think that was amazing. At Telia, we usually try to take it on the high level, of course, and try to do the strategy planning together with business stakeholders and select the focus areas together and ensure that we follow the same goal and trying to solve the same problem. But like I said, it's usually on high level, and the problem of this gap usually shows itself when we come to low level and trying to identify these use cases. And that's where we see that this different perspective turns to a problem. So I personally think that we need data science leader, and I'm saying a leader, not a manager, that can help business to identify their use cases. Either it can be machine learning use cases or analytical use cases based on the needs and based on the available data, so that they can identify this, what is the actual problem that can help to this day-to-day life of business. Like in your example, you could take the data scientist team to see the work closely and see what exactly happening with their day-to-day problems in the business side. So that is a very good example. If it is possible to do it, like to keep the data science as close as possible to the business stakeholder, that would be amazing. But also if we have this sort of leader that has this knowledge already and it can help the others to understand that problem, and they have this practical vision and they have the ability to translate this business question for their data scientists, I think that would be amazing. And I'm talking about this role, and I know that it is not easy to find those sort of people because they need to be super good at data science, of course. They need to have a very good background, a technical background. But also at the same time, they need to have a very good understanding of the business and having the trust and respect from the non-technical leaders, and then try to keep the data science team on track to address the actual problems. So yeah, I think to me, having such a role is one good solution to address the gap.
This is really the key for bridging between the business and the technical side. And I would like to divide it in two different aspects. And that's the first one would be that we have aligned expectations. You have an understanding and that we know what the goal is. And I think, as you mentioned, that the communication is the key here. We need to discuss and really dig in deep what is possible. And I also think that it's difficult to just say that we will achieve this or we can promise this. So we usually do from our side, we do a lot of small investigations to narrow that, to be more specific what is achievable. And I could give an example. Let's say that we have a temperature sensor in the car, and it have a range from -40 to 150 degrees. and we create the linear regression model for that sensor. We might have a lot of data at 0 to 20 degrees, and then the stakeholders request we would really like to have good performance at minus 40 or at high temperatures. So then we really need to understand the key, what is really important with this model. Well, and that is communication, of course, and really understand what they are doing. And from our side, do small investigations. Do we have the data? Is it very imbalanced? Do we have data in the low temperature range or not? Is it achievable, or could we do other models that are more suited? So that we take small steps and we communicate with the stakeholders to try to really dig into what they really want and what is the most important thing. And and there is also another part, and when you have the result, how should you interpret it? If instead we do a classification model of the temperature sensor, so we say it's low or high or normal or high, then we have the scoring metrics for this classification model. And how should you interpret those scorings? Okay, we have a sensitivity of 0.9. What does that really mean for the business side? Is that good enough? So I think we need to be communicating continuously during the project, both at the beginning, so we can define the scope and have a good understanding what's achievable, and at the end when we discuss the results and how we can support and find the different bid needs and open up the views, because it's really hard to interpret these results if you don't have any understanding of it. Yes.
All right. And I think, firstly, a small disclaimer that I just thought about. I think my answers will be coming a lot more from like the realm or perspective of startups and scale-ups. So maybe some of the solutions are a little different. But to go straight to the answer, I think echoing a bit of what Sarah said, I think whenever possible, having a person who lives a little bit in both worlds is just really helpful, and I think it can't be beat. Again, this is not always possible. We all know this. Finding someone who really has a good understanding of the problems at a low level and is willing and eager to go to the business and really put, I don't know, 50% of their time actually talking and understanding the finance or the sales roles, it's not so easy. But I think encouraging that is really important. And then the second part for me that I think really helps is creating a high degree of ownership for the technical part. And basically trying to get the team to feel like it's really co-owning the success. And there's a lot of ways you can do this. I think one kind of very simple and obvious way is publishing case studies together with the business. So often we would have case studies where, you know, it's data science talking about how cool the data science stuff was that happened. But I think trying to like publish a case study where we talk about the data science stuff, but also directly link it to the business and really try to get the scientists excited about those outcomes and kind of just have them understand that we're still doing science, we're still optimizing, but we're optimizing for the things that business cares about, I think is crucial. And it's not easy, but it's a worthy pursuit.
Thank you so much. Really valuable insight and experience sharing.
Amazing. Thank you for that question, Johanna. Johnny, can you share your question and give us some context surrounding it?
Yes, my question is, what characterizes a high-performance data science team? And that is many angles to this question, and it can depend on the business, the data available, what services that support the team. But will we find any common denominators? That is what I'm thinking about. And from from my perspective, if we have a data science team, we would like them to have diversity of skills. They have a lot of different skills in the team. And that is, of course, important that they can share these skills with each other. They can share knowledge and they have this good teamwork. And also what stands out for a high performance team is that there is a high sense of understanding of what brings value to the business. And you also need to be very creative and innovative, share ideas and discuss opportunities, having workshops to educate in different areas that you think that we will work on in the near future, and have book circles to nurture that continuous learning culture. So it's my mindset of lifelong learnings. And I also think that it's really valuable to have a transparent leader that can increase the understanding of the team to understand the business, so they can come up with ideas themselves and they really know what would be valuable. And there is, of course, this the really important thing is that you need to be able to share the skills to make the team stronger, and that will raise the deliveries of the team and the performance of the team.
Yes, thank you. No, I think this is a really interesting question, Johnny. And in my experience, I agree. It's very much this combination of kind of the skill set and the culture. So I think in terms of the skill set, what you really need to have for a high performance data science team is that you have the diversity, both on the actual roles, like you need the data scientists, either the more kind of mathematics, statistics type of profile, or the more kind of physics profiles. But you also need some complementing roles to the team, like data engineers is something that I think is really, really valuable. And I see, you know, a few years ago, data scientist was like the really hot role. I think now the data engineer is becoming that, because it's really a critical role. And when they work together, that's really magic. So I think you need both those types of skill sets. And you also need to have the more kind of business translator profile, the one that can literally translate the problem from the business stakeholder into what that means in terms of data science. And then I think there's a need for diversity also on the seniority, to your point there, Johnny, that the team can educate each other from both sides. So you could have more senior profiles that have a lot of experience, that know how to look at data sets and attacking problems in a smart way. And then you have the young people who are maybe a bit more brute force, just testing out, but they may be more bleeding edge on the technology, so they can really spark off each other. So I think there is definitely a need for a mix there in terms of both skills and seniority. And then I think, to your point on kind of culture, that you need to have a leadership that really has the faith in the data science team and encourages them to really push the organization. Because this is also, I mean, you bring in these experts to really augment the organization's knowledge about what is possible with data. So they need to have that confidence to be able to push a little bit and maybe bring forward some ideas and some hacks to the organization that they were not even aware of was possible. So yeah, it takes a confident and courageous leader as well.
Yeah, and I think to add to this, I would lightly repeat myself, because I think this idea kind of will permeate a lot of the topics around this, of high degree of ownership and a good connection to business goals. Like Johanna was saying, it's really important to have that confidence. And I think, you know, the fact that you get the team aligned with the business goals doesn't just mean that, okay, you're realizing your business goals. That's obviously the most important thing, but also as kind of a side effect of that, your team is going to receive a lot of good feedback, and over time they will feel more and more empowered to do a lot of cool stuff. Otherwise, if they do a lot of things that they consider cool, but they're maybe not directly connected, they may get some feedback of like, why are you doing this? And that can be a real motivation killer. So I think that's very important. And then for some other parts, I think overall, people on the data science team, I feel like need to be flexible thinkers. So it's important to have a good mix of roles, but I think still each individual should be quite flexible. So have this ability, especially these days. It used to be a little different, I guess, when I was starting out, but these days, like, you really can't just tunnel vision on the tech or like completeness of your solution, but you need to quickly understand again what's the real objective function that you're optimizing. It's not just what you're looking at in your model, but it's also what the business is thinking about. And finally, I think there's no substitute for building a lot of stuff. So a highly efficient team will just build more than your average team, because you need to build and try and fail to get really excellent results eventually.
Yeah, I also totally agree with what you all said. So I'm not going to repeat it. I think you had very great points about the people, the skills, and having the leadership. I would also add one more thing, since I'm coming from the platform side, being an architect. I think to have, like, if you have the proper skills and the proper team set up, you also need to have the right tools in place to be able to build the use cases and to be able to deliver. So I think it's important to have best practices and way of working in place, and having the mature platform that covers the use case implementation requirements end to end. So it's very important to have this in place and have a well-defined processes for how to build the use cases, and have your data scientists feeling comfortable and knowing it and know how to use these tools to do the implementation for the use cases. So yeah, just wanted to add that.
Amazing. Thank you for that question, Jenny. Sarah, can you share your question and give us some context surrounding it?
So I was thinking about one of the challenges that almost everyone know about data science, data scientists work. So usually the data scientist type of work, the nature of the work is not really compatible with the way of working for business units. So business is usually short-sighted and they need quick and ad hoc answers, and while data scientists and technical teams, they have long term visions, and they have research as their strong element part of the work. So they need time to run different experiments, defining features, dealing with data quality issues, while business needs to see the results very quickly, and they want to have a productionized solution that works flawless. So it feels like sometimes they don't see the value of putting a fair amount of time on experimenting and failing. But in the data science world, that is super important, and technology changes all the time, and the world around it changes rapidly. So data scientists would love to try new approaches and try to use different techniques to improve the accuracy of their models, even for 1%. Sometimes that is a big achievement for a project. So, but we see that business is slow and is not flexible when it comes to these new technologies, except generative AI, I would say. I would like to know, as a leader, how would you balance these vision differences and keep your data scientists motivated with these problems? I believe, and I might be very wrong, but I still believe that it's important to put some time for research and try to use new technologies, new techniques to improve and to grow, and hopefully to make business to be more flexible as well. One of the very nice things that when I joined Telia, we used to have was brown bag meetings. So every Wednesday at lunchtime, data scientists from different units would grab their lunch boxes and we would gather in the same room. And there were always someone volunteer, and they would come and try to talk about and present about some of the different things. For example, some of the findings that they had in their use cases in hand, and paper or web blog that they read and they liked it, and they would share it with the others. Or even some new tools that they found, for example, experiment tracking, how to easily track your experiments. And even we read a book together on deep learning. So we loved it, everyone loved it, and we were actively participating. So that was one nice thing to have. So we were getting ideas from each other and we could implement it in our use cases. And another idea that's we sometimes try it here at Telia is to hiring master thesis students and let them try to work on the same problem from different research perspectives. So trying different techniques on the same problem and trying to see which one gives the best results. And I love that. I think that's one of the ways to approach this, having this research spirit up in the team. So I would like to hear from you how you would think we can motivate our data scientists and try to use these different new technologies or techniques.
Thanks a lot for that question, Sarah. I think it's really interesting, and I think anybody who's been in the space for a while has a lot of experience with this challenge. So what I think, and again, it's kind of similar to my other solutions, but slightly different. I think long term, especially in this type of like startup or scale up organization, a good goal to have is to try and position the data science teams as like more trusted advisors to the business, as opposed to what sometimes happens when they can kind of be thought of as almost like advanced tech support and doing a lot of ad hoc stuff here and there, which can seem like this, it's efficient because it's fast and you're getting quick answers, but we know that long term it's not the best use of the time of professionals who are that well trained and have that that much knowledge and ability. So I think there's a lot of different things you can do to achieve that state. Always starts with like very honest and direct communication. So you need to bridge the gap from both sides. You need both the data scientists to like understand and connect with the business outcome a little bit more. They again feeling like they really own the success, and the business needs to understand at least give a few percent to research, and that nothing great can happen with just these quick one day, SQL queries or whatever you'll have in this kind of bad world. And then if you get that foundation, again, building case studies, especially for those things that the solutions that took a lot more time to build, if you can then build a case study where you can hopefully directly link what you've done, like straight to P&L ideally, then you're building this trust and you're building this this position of a trusted advisor, becoming this kind of advisor that comes in and is well respected, and these solutions are really used, and then they're linked to the outcomes that really matter. I think that's one of the ways to bridge the gap and also keep the scientists motivated as they feel more ownership of what they're doing and they feel like they're making a difference.
Yes, this is a really interesting question. I think that when I mentioned that we have the book circle, it's kind of similar that you have, Sarah. And we do these workshops where someone can present a new technique that we will educate each other and inform everyone in the team about. So that is ways that we handle this. And we also have these kind of small stories when we try to explore different solutions. So if we're not sure what how to proceed in a long-term task or project, that we can divide it into small stories and see what ways will we find. But we will always have this short request that is really the bread and butter from the business or stakeholders. They want fast answers, and some of them have really high priority. So it's, of course, you need to follow along a little bit on that. But it's always about communication also. What is expected? Is there a different way? So we always need to communicate what is achievable, what time plan do we have. But some deliveries are short term and high priority, so you really need to do them. But you need to have the long term goals in mind too. And that could be that you pick up these different small tasks to move in the direction. So you keep that going, even if you have all these important investigations short term, because sometimes it's just that it need to be done. So that said, I think it's that's
perfect. Thanks, Johanna.
Yes, so I think that I share most of your or all of your views on kind of, it's very much balancing what you do short term versus long term, and keeping the team engaged. I think in my experience, what I'm trying to do is to, when we look at the planning for, you know, next quarter or next, even breaking down into sprints or backlog, basically trying to have almost like a portfolio approach to our work. So 70-20-10% of your work to be divided, like majority, what do we do the coming quarter, closing down those fires or the short-term priorities. 20% is more like the year, what do we do this year, and then those 10%, those kind of moonshot things that you are really interested in, almost, you know, towards innovation actually, but at least making sure that everybody in the team get to allocate a portion of their time on the innovative side of things or passion projects even. Because like you said, in the end, that could be the most valuable thing for the company if you invest time in it. So 70-20-10.
Oh, interesting. Thanks for all the replies. I think they are all interesting solutions to this, and addressing it from different point of views. Thanks.
Amazing. And thank you for sharing that question, Sarah. Last but not least, Milosz, could you share your question and give some context around again?
All right. So my question is pretty straightforward. What's the ideal candidate profile when hiring for a high-performance data science team? And then for the context, of course, I would consider it almost a bit of a trick question, because the only realistic answer is that it heavily depends on the specific of the role, on the company, and really so many other factors, because data science these days, it's such a broad term that it can even border on meaningless. It would be very interesting to share perspectives from different scenarios and different industry and see just how much it varies. And for my take and my perspective, I think firstly, it's a person that really enjoys building things. So this can translate a little bit into, can they get into the engineering mindset? And obviously not saying that a great data scientist needs to be a fully fledged software data engineer, but if they have this interest and this way of really shifting into the mindset of like building stuff, that I feel helps a lot. Something I think I've mentioned, flexible thinking. So really being able to like get out of just the pure thinking about the technology or thinking about the specific solution, but really be flexible in understanding what are we optimizing for at a very high level, and then be able to bring it to the low level and apply the specific solution that only you can know how to use. Thirdly, they enjoy talking about their solutions and they're good educators and ambassadors. I think this is something that is becoming increasingly important. I mean, I think it's always been important, but especially these days where we have this maybe a little bit of cooling off on the specifically data science role, it's so much more important to be able to really get others excited about what you're doing. And you only can do that if you really enjoy connecting with others and finding like good allegories or good ways to describe what you're doing. And I'll leave the slight, maybe not controversial, but maybe slightly controversial one for last. For me, I always kind of expect or require a really solid math background. I know there's a lot of roles these days that you could argue that it's not necessary. But I think nothing beats a physics or math PhD. It's obviously not required, but in my experience, it just helps so much being able to go as deep as necessary on the solution and really not be limited by the surface level understanding and always being able to just cut and go into the equations and find exactly what's going on with your project is really helpful. But that one I left for last, and I could I could possibly be swayed. Super interesting to hear from you guys.
Yeah, I agree with the last one. So I like that one. And I think that a very important skill for a data scientist is to be good at statistics, of course, and have the passion for the data and try to understand. Of course, I mean, it's a little bit cliche, but it is really, really true that they should be able to tell their stories about the data and try to investigate it, try to find the exceptions, the times that the data doesn't look as usual, and try to figure out why and how, trying to basically tell the story about the data, what's happening there. And statistics helps to not to have any bias thinking there. So I think they should always that is one of the very important skills for data scientists, I would say. But also I was thinking like if you Google, you will find a lot of different things about who is a good data scientist and who what sort of skill sets they should have. But as you said, it very much depends on what you need. So if you have like depending on the use cases that you have, the level of the maturity of the use cases, you would go hire more expert data scientists, look for those sorts of profiles. But sometimes it might be enough to have data analysts, and you don't really need to build a lot of advanced models. Maybe building dashboards and trying to visualize the data in a very nice way is enough for the use cases that you have. But sometimes, of course, it's more advanced, and then you need people with more machine learning skills. And also, again, depending on the tools that you have in place, depending on the different roles, diversity of the roles that you have in your team, you might need data scientists that are good with development processes, for example. If you have a mature MLOps processes in place and you want your data scientists to follow those steps, then you need them to have a good understanding of how, for example, CI/CD works, what is a container, and how to build a production-ready code and write unit tests and so on. And without that, I think it won't be easy to, without that skill, it won't be easy for data scientists to work on the use cases. And then you might complement it with other roles like data engineers, having ML engineers in your team, and help the data scientists to do so. That's, it was mentioned before, of course, but so that's what I think.
Johnny?
Yes, there are some core skills. And I can agree that statistics is one of them. And machine learning wise, I think we are more of a classic machine learning, in not so much LLMs or deep learning. programming is, of course, one good skill or a core skill, and also that we have scientific methodology, that decision making is based on established methodologies. And it would be also good that the candidate has domain skills and also diagnostic skills to understand the vehicle data and different systems in the vehicle, of course, because that is really important. Of course, the continuous learning and the soft skills, collaborating with the teams, and then depending on the team setup, of course, the visualizations or data engineering. So it much depends on what different skills you have in the team, but the core skills you need to have there.
Yeah, so I'm going to make my answer quite short, because to all of your viewpoints, I mean, it very much comes down to what is the industry, what is kind of maturity of the team, what is the combination of the team already, and so on. But I think it really boils down to a couple of things. And the first one is that controversial one that you said, Milos. I mean, it really solid math skills and having a solid, the relevant academic background. And you often find that either in math, statistics, or physics, or theoretical physics. So this is key. But then I think, in my experience, the other critical thing, or that really signifies the ideal candidate, is that the person works well with the rest of the team, that the person really gels with the rest of the team. So in my experience, when I've been recruiting, I always let my team interview the candidate. And I'm not always the one who takes the final decision, because it's more important that it work, that the person works with the team or can work well with the team.
Thanks a lot. That's some really, really nice, insightful answers, guys.
Amazing. And thank you for that question, Milos. Before we end the podcast, I would like to ask everyone some quick fire questions some of our listeners have recommended. So, first things first, what are the three characteristics of a leader of a high-performance data science team?
Okay, so I thought of two. I'll see if I can come up with the third as I talk. So firstly, I think really for a leader, and not necessarily talking about the manager, I would say they need to be really, really deeply knowledgeable about the technology. They need to be able to understand all the solution that the team is working on. Not necessarily be the very best at each single technology, but I think having very deep technical skill is the obvious one. Then the second part, I would say, is the thing that already came up, is ideally they have at least a toe, if not a whole foot, in the business world, so they can really connect the goals to what the business really needs to do, and they can ensure that that the scientists are doing things that are really, really useful, and that they will get a lot of good recognition for, so they can stay motivated. And thirdly, I think it needs to be a person with high emotional intelligence. Of course, that's for any leadership role. Just the technical skill and like business understanding is not enough. They need to be very thoughtful about working with people. So that would be the top three.
I would also add someone that has a vision, someone that has a clear roadmap on how the data scientist could fit to the business, and has the buy-in from the higher level managers, I think. Vision for me is, I think, one of the most important things, so that they can lead their team to deliver.
Johanna?
Yes, so difficult though to pick three. No, but I think one key is to be very confident. to be very confident in the team's ability to really, you know, transform and change and create business value for the organization, because this goes both towards the team and to the rest of the organization. But I think the leader also has to be humble. So being humble, meaning in my interpretation, inviting the team's point of views, being really open to try to relate to their different viewpoints and having open discussion. Also being humble that the leader, him or herself, may not be on top of everything. So trusting in the team and being humble. And then I think being a bit of a strategic stakeholder manager. So knowing what battles to pick, what moves to take, so you guide the team in the right direction, so you ensure that you create that business value that you want to achieve in the end.
Perfect. Thank you, everyone. Before we end the podcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for taking part in today's podcast. They have been Johanna, Johnny, Sarah, and Milos. Thank you.